verse number 17 through 32. Acts chapter number 5, verse 17 through 32. I'm going to take verse number 29 as a text verse where it says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse number 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's what we want to try to talk to you about this morning. And amen, thank you. It's a beautiful day. Thank you all for coming this morning and helping, supporting your church. I hope you'll come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Support your church. We'll have some good singing and some good preaching. So Acts chapter number 5, verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning, and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. In other words, what's going to become of all this? And then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. We'll stop right there. It goes on to the end of the chapter. But we'll try to talk this morning a little bit about we ought to obey God rather than men. If you pray with me and for me, please. Father, we come to thy throne of grace. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and kindness toward us. Father, thank you for being merciful and gracious to us, God. God, thank you for the privilege to be where we are, God. Thank you, God, that you have brought us to this hour. God, you have preserved us. You have preserved our life. God, you have given us life. God, we do not deserve life, but you have given us life. God, I know what I deserve, but God, you have been so good to us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Almighty God, for sending your Son. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words this morning. May pray the Spirit of God would help me and bless your people, I pray, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Acts chapter number 5 here, Acts is a wonderful book. But in Acts chapter number 5, 2 weeks ago, we had the event that took place with two of the disciples there in Jerusalem at the church. That was a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. It's a husband and a wife. And they saw, in the things that were going on there, they saw another member of the church. They saw what he did. They saw this man by the name of Barnabas. Brother Barnabas, he sold some land and gave all the money to the church. And that gave him quite a reputation. And by the way, if any of y'all have some land and you want to sell it and give it to the church, give the money to the church, we'll take it. You'll be fine. We'll take that. We won't tell anybody about it unless you just want us to. You know, But that's what happened to Barnabas. Y'all awake out there? And so he sold his land and he promised that he would give everything, and he did. He gave everything that he had. That gave him quite a reputation, or at least I think that probably did. Ananias and Sapphira, they saw that. They say, what happened? They saw what happened there, and they wanted that same reputation. They wanted that notoriety that that Barnabas got, you know. They wanted to be seen or to be known as sold out Christians. And you know, as someone who's giving their all. They wanted to have that kind of reputation. But here's the thing. You know, but always changes everything. The Bible says, but God did this, changes everything. Here, but they decided among themselves to do it by deception. They are going to deceive people. They're going to lie. And that's what they did. They decided among themselves to lie about it. And the Bible says in chapter 5 and verse number 4, Peter stood up to preach and he pointed them out and he said this, he says, that you have not only lied to men, but to God. And he pointed them out there, the apostle Peter in his preaching called them out. And he said this in chapter 5 and verse number 9. He said that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. I don't want to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. I probably have. But to tempt the Spirit of the Lord, that is to provoke Him, to cause Him to be angry, the Spirit of the Lord. And so when that happened, you know the story. They both died for their sins there, and we went over that. And so it goes on there, and the events that we're studying today, they take place after the death of Ananias and Sapphira. This is in the church in Jerusalem. This is a church, the first New Testament church in existence. It had the apostles. It had lots. There were thousands of people that had been saved. Look in verse number 12 there of chapter 5. In verse number 12, it says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch being some place in the temple there where they met. The Bible says signs and wonders. All the people of the church were not going around and working miracles. That's not what was happening there. The Bible says that the apostles, they had the gift. They had the signs there. Not everybody was walking around doing miracles, but the apostles, signs and wonders. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and I believe it's verse number 12. 2 Corinthians 12:12. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Here's Paul writing, talking to the church at Corinth, and he says this, 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of an apostle. You see, if someone is truly an apostle, then he would have the signs. The people today that say they're apostles, they're not apostles. Truly the signs of an apostle. Here's Peter. He's an apostle. He has the signs. Jesus Christ had the signs. Moses had the signs. You see, you go back to Exodus chapter number 5, I believe it is. The signs. They were able to work signs and wonders. They were able to raise the dead. You can't do that, then you're not an apostle. 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The apostles did that. Look, folks, whenever the book of Acts is open and the apostles die off, then the signs and wonders go with them. You see, they go with them. We want people to be healed today. We want all these kinds of things, but healing today, you don't just lay your hand on somebody and it goes away. That's what he said about these apostles. Prayer and faith. Prayer and faith. That's what we need to do. That's how it comes today. And look down in verse number 16, these people there, it says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Vexed, that means they were tormented and afflicted by unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. No misfires. Didn't have to give any money, didn't have to have a healing line, didn't have to blow on them, didn't wave their coat at them, none of that kind of stuff. They didn't have any of that kind of stuff, but they were healed, every one of them. And so the events that we're studying here today take place after the death of Ananias and Sapphira, the church at Jerusalem, the first New Testament church in existence. And they're doing, I told you a while ago, what a church is supposed to do. They're singing, they're praising God, they're preaching, they're witnessing to the lost round about them, they're proclaiming the gospel, They're even doing it on a daily basis. If you'll look in chapter 5 in the last verse of that chapter, chapter number 5, it says in verse number 42, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." House to house, going to people's houses there, they cease not to teach and preach on a daily basis. The text that we have here, verse number 29, where he says, "And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." The text here was spoken as a result of the people being told that they were not to do these things. They did not want them to do these things, and they said as a result of being told that, we ought to obey God rather than men. In other words, they said, we're going to do them anyway because we want to obey God. Let me ask you something. What does it mean? What does it involve to obey God rather than men? Most of the time, many times today, people obey men rather than God. Man comes first. Man comes first in most people's minds, but it ought not to be that way. We're supposed to put God first. We're supposed to obey God first. That'll get you in trouble sometimes. That'll get you in trouble to obey God rather than men, but that's what God expects. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen too often, see. We put everything first before God, and then if there's anything left over, then we might give God a little bit of time. You see, so what does it mean? What does it involve to obey God rather than men? I'll pick out three things here first. Number one, it involves continuation. It involves continuation. Number two, it involves contention. Contention. And number three, it involves conviction. Brother, if you don't have any conviction about things, then you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. The first thing that it involves is continuation. You must keep on going, not to quit. The religious leaders did not like what they were doing. Look in verse number 17. "Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation." They were not filled with the Spirit. They were not filled with the Holy Ghost. They are filled with indignation. That is, they were filled with anger. They're mad. They're angry because these apostles, they're preaching. They're talking about this man by the name of Jesus. And they're saying that he was raised from the dead. Not only was he raised from the dead, but they're saying that they're preaching that these people killed him, that they crucified their Messiah. They killed him, they murdered him on a cross. That's what they're saying, and they don't like that. They are filled with indignation. They're just preaching. They're preaching. They put them in prison. Look in verse number 18. They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Put them in prison. You ever been put in prison, in jail, for doing something for the Lord? Most of us have not. But here's the thing. Verse number 19. Says in verse number 19 and 20 says that God intervened. He says, verse number 19, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." So God came and intervened in the apostles' lives there. I want God to intervene. Amen. I want God to intervene in my life. I don't want God. I'm not going to be like Job. Job, several times, he talked to God and he said, "God, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. God, don't bother me anymore." I hope I never say that to God, and you shouldn't say that to God because God might do it. God might just back off and leave you to your own selves. I don't want God to back off. I don't want God to leave me to my own selves. I don't want God to leave me to my own ways, to my own sinful flesh. I don't want God to leave us alone. But God intervened there. And they went back to their preaching. Look in verse number 21. It says, "And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought." They went back. They went back to preaching. Let me tell you something, folks. The Christian life is one of continuation. You must continue on in the Christian life. That is, you must keep on going. You must keep on going. You must not slow down. You must not slow down. You'll lose traction. Years ago, I used to drive a truck. I used to haul milk and I hauled feed when I drive a truck. Whenever we come to a mountain, there's mountains. Many times I've been up and down the mountain at Raton Pass. I think it's about 13 or 14 miles to the top of it, something like that. Or there's another mountain over going to Las Cruces. There's a long mountain, about 12 miles long, I think, like that. And when we come to a mountain, if you're with somebody, you get on the radio and you say, it's time to hammer down. It's time to hammer down. In other words, you got to put it on the floor and give it all it's got. And you got to keep at it until you get to the top. Because if you don't, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. If you stop or if you slow down, you're going to lose ground. So you have to continue. You've got to keep on going until you reach the destination, you see. I'm not saying nobody's going to lose their salvation. I don't believe in losing your salvation. But you got to keep on going, and you must keep on doing the things that you're supposed to do whenever you come to a problem in life. Whenever you come to a problem in life, you must continue. You got to keep on going. You got to keep on praying. You got to keep on preaching. That'd be for me and for others. You got to keep on doing. You got to keep on praising. You've got to keep on doing what you're supposed to do. You must examine your heart. You must humble yourself. You cannot let off. You cannot let up. Many times I've felt like quitting, and sometimes I have quit. I am sorry to say that I've quit. I've quit a lot of things. I should never have quit. I wished I hadn't have quit. I pray to God. I talk to God about it all the time. God, I'm sorry I did this. God, I'm sorry I did that. But brother, the Christian life is one where you must continue on. You continue on. Whenever things get tough, whenever things get hard, you cannot stop. You cannot quit. You must keep on doing the things that got you where you are. If you don't, you'll lose ground. You'll lose ground. I have had to learn to do this. I have had to learn to continue on and to not quit. Let me see. I'm looking for something here in my notes. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14 says this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So we are supposed to continue. I've had to learn to continue, to keep on doing the things. You see, when I was younger, problems would come up here and there in my family, in church and things like that. I wouldn't know what to do. I would just look over and I would look across the fence and I would say, man, things look better over there. I think I'll go over there. I should never have done it. I should never have done it. You know what? Whenever you go somewhere else, there's problems over there too. There's problems everywhere you go. You go across the fence, there's problems over there. You see, I've had to learn this. If you stop and give God an opportunity to help you. See, a lot of times you quit before God has an opportunity to do anything, you see. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of Exodus. I think it's in chapter number 14 probably, where the children of Israel went across the Red Sea. They went across the Red Sea. They left out of Egypt. God is guiding them out. He brought them out with blood, put blood over the doorpost, and brought them out. He killed the firstborn in the land of Egypt there, and he brought the children out. The Bible says with a mighty hand, with a high hand, he brought them out. He brought them across. He brought them to the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, Pharaoh decided that he wanted them back. He let them go. He said, man, get out of here. I want you out. You see, because his firstborn had just died. That'd be chapter number 12. His firstborn had died, and he wanted them out. And so he said, get out of the land of Egypt. Go. Take everything you want. Take your herds. Take your cattle. Take your children. Take everything with you. Get out. And they left. They left that night, and they went, and they came to the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, Pharaoh changed his mind. He said, I want them back. And so he got his chariots, and he started after them. And when they got to the Red Sea, the Red Sea's there. What are they going to do? They got mountains on this side, and they got mountains on that side, and they got Pharaoh coming beside them. Where are they going to go? What will they do? They begin to complain and gripe at Moses. And Moses prayed to God, what are we going to do? You know what God told them? He said this. He said, stand still. Stand still. Just stop. Just stop. And God Almighty, he said, Moses, what's that in your hand? Take that rod and hold it out. And God parted the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. Brother, sometimes when you have a problem in life, you know what you need to do? Don't do anything. Just pray to God. Just stand still and give God an opportunity to do something in your life. You think you're smarter than God? Can you fix every problem that comes up? No, you can't. We can't fix all the problems. Give God an opportunity to do something in your life, you see. Just stand still. Instead of running off here and there, that's what I've always done. That's what I've always done. Man, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there. I'm ashamed to tell you how many times I've moved my family in my life. I don't even want to tell you that. You know why? Because I didn't know that I was supposed to stand still. I probably should have stood still the first place God ever put me. I might have still supposed to be there. But see, I ran off here and I ran off there thinking that I can fix it. It's going to be better over the hill. No, just stand still. You see? And let God have an opportunity to work in your life, you see. He doesn't always do things whenever you want Him to do. He doesn't always do that. But He can solve problems. He can solve problems, you know, that you don't even know about. Without you getting your hand in it, without you sticking your foot in your mouth, without you going anywhere. You see, just stand still a while. I'm not saying that there's not times that a person needs to move. I'm not saying that. But a lot of times we go and we do this and we do that, and we didn't give God an opportunity to do the work that He could have done if we would have stood still. He said, well, what if I do if I go in the wrong place? Well, God, He'll fix that up too. He's got another plan. He's got another plan, see. He can take care of those things. You see what the Christian life is? It's a life of continuation. Keep on going. Don't stop. You're going up a hill? Okay. Don't stop. You'll roll backwards, you see. Just stay still and keep on going. Do the things that got you where you are. I mean, that's just if you're in a good place. If you're in a bad place, you want to stop doing the things. But you do the things that are right, preaching, praying, praising God, thanking God, examining your heart, looking in your heart, doing those kinds of things, you see, doing the right thing, and God will bring you through. That's what the Christian life is. The Christian life, to obey God rather than men, involves continuation. Keep on doing the things that are right. Number two, it involves, secondly, contention. There's always opposition in your life, in the Christian life. If you intend, if it is your heart's desire, it is mine, and I pray that it is yours. If it is your heart's desire to live for God and to do what is right, there will always be opposition, contention, enemies. Verse number 17, chapter 5, verse number 17, when the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Verse number 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to prison to have them brought. Verse number 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. In verse 27, when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. See, they had opposition. People were against them. They were contending with them. They were fighting against them. They had their church councils. Let me tell you something, folks. Anytime you see in the Bible the word councils, there's never anything good about church councils. Church councils are always to throw the Bible out, to get rid of the Bible and make up their own rules and get rid of God. That's what church councils are for. Just look it up. You can find out for yourself. Opposition is always opposition. Nothing good ever comes to it. The point is this. If you intend to live for God and to do what's right, there will always be opposition or contention. Here's the thing, folks. You have to go upstream. Upstream, you have to go against the current. The whole world, folks, is going, they're going with the current, going with the flow. It's easy to do that. Any old dead fish can float downstream. All the trash and all the leaves and everything else can go downstream. Just take the easy route. You see, you have to go the other way. Brother, if you're a Christian, if you believe this book, you believe the Bible, you got to go against the current. You got to go against the society. Brother, it's rotten. It is rotten. They want to kill babies. They want to take your guns away. They want to do all kinds of things that are evil. And you're supposed to go against that stuff. You see, there'll always be contention, opposition. It's easy to go downstream with everything. Everything, that's the easy way. You will have opposition not only from the outside, but even from the inside. From your own evil flesh, you see. You want to do that, you want to take the easy route. Don't do it. Don't do it. Your own flesh and your own will. You see these empty pews out here? There used to be people sitting in those at different times. You know why they're not there? They're taking the easy route. They're taking the easy route. They're listening to another spirit. And they're taking the easy route because it's easy to do something else on Sunday. It's easy to do something else on any other day of the week than it is to come and work and serve God. You got to get up and you got to do something, see. You got to get up and serve God, and that's what God requires of us. Take the easy route with the crowd, the flow. Here's the thing, there's destruction downstream. There are waterfalls, pitfalls. But if you go ahead and you go against the contention and you do not take the easy route, you will be much richer for it. You will be much richer for it. One of these days, we're going to stand before God, stand before Jesus Christ, and all of these things will be brought up. Where it says we ought to obey God rather than men, it involves, the last thing is conviction. Conviction. The Bible says there they were threatened with bodily harm. Chapter 5 and verse number 40. Chapter 5, verse number 40 says, To him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. You see, they told them not to not preach in that name anymore. In Acts chapter number 7, Stephen was stoned to death. He died stoned. In Acts chapter number 12, the apostle James is beheaded. He got his head cut off. In Acts chapter number 12, the apostle Peter again was put in prison again. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul is in prison and he was beheaded soon after that. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be a part of that crowd? Do you want to be a part of that crowd right there that lost their head, that were put in jail, that were put in prison? If you do, it takes conviction. If you don't have conviction, if you are not convinced in your heart, in the bottom of your soul, one day you will quit. One day you will drop out. You'll quit. You'll go down the stream with all the other stuff. You see, that floats down. You must have a conviction in your heart that this is true, that this is right. I believe this stuff, and I'm not going to change it for any reason. I must do it. That's what they said. That's what they said. If you want to be a part of that crowd, we have to be convinced in our own heart that these things are right. Not just because it feels good, makes you feel good. That's great if it feels good. Not because it has a positive impact on your life. That's fine if it does. That's good. Not just because your mom and daddy told you. And that's good too. If you don't know yourself, then believe your mom and daddy until you get to where you believe, till you know yourself, you see. But you finally got to get it down in your heart, in your soul, that this is right. I'm going to do it because it's right, and I'm not going anywhere else. You got to have a conviction, to be convicted in your heart, convicted that this is right. Chapter 4 and verse number 20, back up to the left. Chapter 4 and verse number 20, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They said, we can't help ourselves. We must speak the things which we have seen and heard. We could talk about many, many others who've died for their faith. Otherwise, if people don't have a conviction, then they will fall away. Jesus Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree, and He suffered and died in our place. We are commanded to not obey God rather than men. But too many times we have it the other way around. Conviction. Let me ask you something. Do you have a conviction in your heart that what you're doing is true? We must have a conviction in our heart and obey God rather than men. Let us bow our heads, please, for just a moment.